Friday nights, always about our beloved legend.
It's a very simple thing, because if you've literally followed this man's journey, you'll be forgiven if you felt that he's been kind of misunderstood. Maybe he's also been very unlucky. And I say this simply because for years, he was indeed the kind of a messiah type of a coach who would come into the teams facing relegation and he would save them. We'll talk about that track record. Maybe it's also part of the problem is that people saw him as a source to remove problems. So it was a short-term thing, but he always rescued them. The track record is there. I mean, he did the same with Swallows Football Club last season, if you remember. Went as far as inking in that achievement on his body, otherwise known as a tattoo. Now, less than 10 games into the new season, the two have decided to fly their separate ways. Fortunately for us, we've clipped his wings, and he hasn't been keen to chat to anybody in a platform of this nature. We convinced him, and the beautiful thing is that he is also down in Durban. And we said, why not come through to the Vuma FM studios? We'll treat you like a king. So, we arranged a massage and pedicure and a manicure. So he's looking manly and strong and ready to do this. So listen carefully. Send the questions. Send the comments. He'll be with us for the full show. We said we want to unpack everything. Dylan Kerr, good evening, sir. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, Robert. And it's nice to be in a different studio with you, but it's the same Robert, and, it's nice to be here.
Good to have you, man. Durban's got that thing. Durban is it's a coastal city. It's a humid city, but it also a relaxed one. I can see you in your shorts and your T-shirt. You could be in Hawaii, so why not?
Well, I've been down watching the beach football with CASAFA. They invited me down to watch it when they knew I was down here. Mark Fish invited me down, so it was good to spend 2 days watching the local talent play beach football. Unfortunately, South Africa didn't make the finals, but it was it's good. It's good watching football.
I mean, talking about that, I was actually told that tomorrow at 11 o'clock, so this is even for the people that are listening to the show, 11 o'clock tomorrow, the legends will play, including the very same Mark Fish that you're talking about. I don't know if you're going to be playing.
I'm going to be playing. I'm actually a player coach, but it's at 1 o'clock. They've changed it now. It's 1 o'clock kickoff.
1 o'clock now.
1 o'clock kickoff. So Stability. Okay. Stability's playing. Myself's playing. Mark Fish is playing. Former Tanda and Rangers, Manning Rangers player Dale Studinski's playing.
Wow.
The big Greek striker.
George Komantarakis.
George is playing. So it's going to be... it's going to be interesting because I've never played beach football, not even on the beach. When I'm down here, I'm always swimming. So, but now I'm not allowed to swim because it's the Indian Ocean's toxic. So, let's play football.
And you're young enough to still play. I mean, what at 55 years old?
21.
Sir. Yeah, okay, sorry, 21. So 1 o'clock along the beach. Trust me, you'll catch it. I think it's just opposite the Edward Hotel. Yeah, so thanks for letting me know. I was going to get there at 11 and watch the sand. So now that it's 1 o'clock and the finals at 3 o'clock, it's a good time to go watch, the legends. I mean, Dale Studinski, haven't heard that name in a long time. George Komantarakis, I'm sure he's taller than when he was still very, very tall playing football. I look forward to that. And I'm glad that you're the player coach because you'll get to play.
Well, I am, and I just hope that I'm in Gavin Lane's team because nobody will get past Gavin.
That's why he's stability unit. You probably needed him for all sorts of things. I mean, we could talk about the ironies, and I'll talk about the achievements that you had in the UK in the same day that you get fired to put the context into the entire discussion. But in case we run out of time, as we always do, I want you to take a deep breath because... I mentioned, 10 games into the brand new season?
Eight. Three, if you can't consider the games that I was on the bench.
I was going to say, you probably spent fewer games on the bench than you did on the bench. But still, you get the chop after the Arrows game. Was that something, Dylan, in all honesty, was that something you expected to see happen?
No, I didn't. I mean... 3 weeks previous that the chairman sent me a message saying I've got his full support and thank you, for helping him with his football team. And then, we played against Stellenbosch and that was probably the worst game in my whole South African career as a coach in the four teams that I've had that I've ever seen play football. It wasn't my team at all that played that day. And to go down to Golden Arrows, play the way that I actually wanted us to play the whole season, since the start of the season. We actually finally played the way that we train, you know, with a good attacking formation, with a willingness to try and score goals in the first 10 minutes, and then within 60 seconds, we were 2-0 down, you know, from two mistakes, one from my central defender giving a penalty away, and one from a goalkeeper who everybody's questioning, you know, should he be playing because of the howler that he made against AmaZulu, but... Yeah. You know, along with myself and my goalkeeper coach, Tella Tella, we thought, you know, he was the best choice that day. But we never stopped. Up until the 66th minute, we were still in the game. And I was actually pleased at half time. The dressing room was absolutely, was loud. It was boisterous. The players were saying, we can get back into this game. Mm-hmm. We can win this game. And then in the 66th minute, another defensive error from Kwanda basically killed the game. And, you know, when I look back at the fourth goal, you know, it's game management. You know, you're trying to still get the game. You're still trying to get back into the game. I would rather lose 4-0 than lose 2-0.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, for the first 66 minutes, we kept going. We actually, in my opinion, did very, very well. We played very, very well. But, you know, Golden Arrows took their three chances and took them, you know, from two of our mistakes.
How does it affect your match day when you're not on the actual bench?
Well, let me give you a scenario. You know, my former chairman likes to drive the Swallows bus.
Yeah.
You know, he's qualified to do that. You know, and I was just thinking it as I was walking up from Umhlanger. You know, it's like him sat at the back of the bus with a learner driver, you know, and he's not able to tell the learner driver what to do. You know, and that's I've got every faith in Moussa. Moussa's been brilliant, you know, since I joined the club last season. And that's why I promoted him to become my assistant as a cost-cutting thing with the club because of the financial aspects that the club were in. But I liked Moussa. I liked his thought process. Mm. The same with Tella Tella. I'll never regret making him goalkeeper coach because he's been absolutely fantastic. I mean, his work ethic is second to none. And I've worked with a lot of goalkeeper coaches in this country.
Yeah.
And... You know, sitting in the stand, you cannot get over your message. A, because of the noise. B, because of the if there's a team with a band, and you're shouting down or you're communicating with people on the bench that don't get the message to Moussa.
Yeah,
and I can give you a few examples. You know, it's against Pirates. It was difficult. You know, I didn't want to be on the phone because it's illegal to do that anyway.
But also visually looks
unethical. It looks bad. Yeah. But you know, trying to get the message down to Moussa during the game to change from a back five to a back four, it didn't work until half time when I went in the dressing room and changed it. And I think David made a comment about there's no difference with being in the stand because you're there before the game, half time. And after the game, which is correct. But each game that I've been able to go into the dressing room at half time and rectify it and sort it out, it has actually worked, and it's worked for the better. So being in the stand, you know, I'm a leader, I'm a voice, I can see the things that are happening, which Moussa, you know, being new to the game, doesn't actually grasp the enormity of a scenario like the corner that we conceded the second goal against AmaZulu. You know, I'm there, I can see that. I can dictate on the sideline because I'm close to it. In the stand, when I'm with all these supporters that are screaming and shouting and playing and blowing vuvuzelas, it's impossible. And the message never gets right. So I'll tell a message, and by the time it gets to Moussa, it's either too late or it's a different message. And it's frustrating. It really is frustrating. But, you know, for whatever reason, you know, it's the fifth time that I've applied for a visa and it takes weeks for me to get the visa. And I know why, you know, because, you know, the finances are not there to provide the money to VFS and Home Affairs.
I'll get to that because that's an important conversation. I just want to, because we also had the chairman on the show about 2 days ago or so, and I posed exactly the same question that I've asked you about the effect of you not being on the bench. And he said he would not take that as a reason or an excuse, simply because he feels that the training happens in the training ground And by the time you get to the game, the message should be loud and clear. But also added what you've just spoken about now, that you have an opportunity at halftime and so on to get into the change room and rectify that you've observed as being wrong. So that was his take on it.
And the chairman knows it, everybody knows this. I don't lie about football. It's my life. It's when we train, we train in a certain way. And that way we train is how I we train. We look a poor side. You know, and at half time I've had to come and rectify it. I've had to make a lot of changes, both before the game starts. We've rotated players because it's never worked. The starting 11 doesn't seem to work. Then I've had to change it at half time. Sometimes I've had to change it, you know, before half time. But it's what we do in training. I select my team on who's working close together, what good formations are, what good personalities are playing in midfield as a defender, as a goalkeeper, and as a striker. That's how I select my team, or what I see every day in training.
Right.
And I've always said to these players, I believed 100% that we could have challenged for a top two, top three, top four place. That's no lie. I actually believed in that, in what I saw every day in training. But when it came to games, it just didn't seem to work. We tended to do different things. Now, like I said, against Pirates, after 25 minutes, the back five wasn't working. And I couldn't get the message down to change it to a back four until half time. After we changed it at half time, we took the game to Pirates. Yes, they had their counter-attacks, but they were at home. It's the first game of the season. You're going to expect that. And I remember the chairman phoning me after 20 minutes and saying, that's why I was on the phone on camera. It was the chairman calling.
Yeah.
He says, "Coach, we're getting hammered." I says, "Yes, Chair. It's first game, Pirates at home, new coach, new strike force. You know, nerves are there."
Yeah.
I said, "But we need to change it, and I'll change it at half time." And it worked to a point where we should have had a penalty. Maybe if we'd have had the penalty, the guy would have got sent off. But one episode in that game is that I've told my bench to bring young Mbele on, Kaká.
Yes.
Because Pirates put three defensive players on. They put a centre-half on two defensive midfielders because we were on top. And I wanted Mbele to come and create, because that's the kind of player he is. On the bench, to the player himself, they said, "Oh, don't put him on. He's too fat and he can't run." To the player himself. And it took me 15 minutes to actually make 15 minutes to make that substitution. Because one of my staff on the bench turned around and said, "Don't put him on, he's too fat and he can't run." It destroyed him. It destroyed him. And it destroyed him up until, you know, last week when I spoke to him.
They were criticising his conditioning?
There was nothing wrong with his conditioning. I knew what that player could give us.
Yeah.
And if he'd have put him on 15 minutes before, I think he could have opened things up. But he went onto that pitch, his head was down, his confidence was down, and his confidence was low post 2 weeks ago when I spoke to him about, you know, "Let me get you back, get your confidence back.
Yeah.
And it's messages like that that when you're in the stand, you've got no control over on the bench. And like I say, the chairman can say, "Yes, I see it in training every day, see it at half-time." But when I have seen it at half-time, I've changed it. And not only have we played better, but we've won the games that we actually won.
But given that challenge, though, Dylan, and I understand what you're saying, because, you know, coaching is coaching. You preempt problems and you preempt attack or defensive frailties or disasters on the match day. So that you can do at training, because it is exactly that. It is training. But it's about then you managing a situation on the bench, given what you see. Like during your playing days, when you played in SA, and you reminded me based on, you know, old clips and cuttings from the days gone by with, you know, the ever sharp Max Mapunyane and everybody else next to you, is that those guys had the ability as seasoned superstars and professionals to take charge when they felt a Jeff Butler or a, you know, whoever was still coaching them at the time to change things because they were feeling a certain situation on the field. But that is where your role comes in. And if you're not able to impact that immediately and not have to rely on somebody sending a message to somebody else, then that is a completely different thing. I would ask you to hold that thought because, you know, when people with glasses come into, or sorry, sunglasses, come into our studios, we get a bit intimidated. And they are superstars, so we don't want to mess with them at all. So we'll line that up. I can see on social media a lot of movement regarding the conversation that we're having with Dylan Kerr. As we said, his first sit-down interview since being fired by Swallows Football Club. And it's proper. It's important that we get his side, his perspective, and we'll unravel a lot of what has gone on. I mean, we certainly will. You can ask the questions. You can throw in the WhatsApp voice notes. It's a super thing that's happening. In fact, Dylan Kerr has taken over these sunglasses from Pilat Duma, and it's a hey.
Nothing here now.
You're no longer a superstar now.
I'm no longer a superstar.
It's Duma. I like these.
You love them.
I love them.
Do you want to have them?
Yes, please.
Robert has been asking me to give them to him, so ish. Now I'm caught in between a rock and a hard place.
No, I think he is both a rock and a hard place. So good luck. Good luck with that. It is a Friday today. Looking forward to a great, great weekend.
Friday nights, always about our beloved legends.
All right, don't forget to keep sending us your WhatsApp voice notes. We are ready for them as we continue our conversation. It's a Friday today. Yeah, you know Fridays and what they are. Hey, what are they?
Friday nights, always about our beloved legends.
Oshamina Madluputu, and good evening to Coach Dylan Kerr. Never die, it's a window. Coach, do you think you have enough defenders or at Swallows, or what's your take on your defenders? Because you were conceding a lot of goals. Have a good weekend, guys.
Thank you so much indeed. I think that was one of your admissions a short while ago, just before the news, though, Coach, that defensively we're not doing well. Was it a combination of defensively, including goalkeeping, or was it just purely the defensive line?
I think it's a culmination of, the whole team, really. But, you know, when you're conceding goals, when like I said, Robert, when you're training, you know, the hunger not to concede goals in training, we kick lumps out of each other in training. We hate losing in training. And we go through everything with a fine tooth comb. You know, in training, we prepare for each game separately. And then on the Friday night or the Saturday night, whenever we're playing, we go through the video analysis and I go through it with a fine tooth comb. I cover everything from free kicks to how they play on a counter attack, which a lot of teams do play against Swallows. But we made 14 individual mistakes, defensive individual mistakes. They weren't good goals created. They weren't
is
good
this for
goals.
The Arrows game?
This is for all the goals we've conceded. They've 14. All been individual mistakes. You know, and the Arrows game was, I mean, it was just unbelievable. The goals we give away were, you know, childish, if you're honest.
Yeah.
The first goal, Sassman's got to do better from the penalty. He's got caught ball watching. Then he goes and makes a stupid foul in the penalty area. My goalkeeper makes a howler of a clearance for the second goal within 60 seconds of the first goal. And like I say, Kwanda decides he wants to dribble out of the box, loses possession, and they score. Basically, that's game over. But the previous game against Stellenbosch, you know, Little Beaker diving in for the first goal. The second goal, we don't pick up the runner, and Sassman again is caught on his heels, and Mendieta sneaks in and scores the second goal. Gallant's free header. We can go on and on and on about the goals we've conceded. They've all been individual mistakes. And I've had total faith in my back line, especially, you know, the ones that I knew from last season, Sassman, Wanda Seeley, and we brought two new players in, Keegan Allen and Kwandra. Mm-hmm. So I thought we had a lot of strength in depth there, but we were conceding poor goals. And you're the coach and not responsible for that on the field, but you take responsibility off the field because you're the one that's picked those players to play that game. And against Arrows, I picked the back three. Watching Arrows against Mamelodi Sundowns the previous game at Tux.
Yeah.
I went to watch the game. They didn't play the same formation in the first half to the second half. I knew it was going to be 4-3-3, and I knew that we needed a back three. So when we played Supersport in a friendly on the Tuesday, I looked at combinations to try and plug those holes, to try and make sure that we don't concede goals. And I went with Sassman because he's naturally left-footed. Junaid Saint wasn't available because he was concussed the previous game. I went with Kwanda because he looked in the middle, looked good, and Keegan Allen looked fine as a back three against Supersport. And then, obviously, after 25 minutes, I've had to drag Sassman off because he was absolutely having a torrid. Not that the Golden Arrows players were giving him a torrid. He was having an absolute nightmare. He couldn't pass to one of our players. He made three or four errors leading up to the penalty, and then after the penalty, I brought him off and put my captain, Wanda Seely, where maybe I should have played him from the start, but the decision I made was because he's naturally left-footed. A left-footed player was the better option on that game, but you know, the goals we've conceded have not been good goals. They've not been good goals from the opposition.
But how do you rectify that? Because that's the main question for me. You've identified the problem, Dylan. It's a problem of individual mistakes. You've counted them. You've got the stats of how many mistakes per game they make, and you go on to lose. Now, you can try and fix it at training, but it is not guaranteed, because the minute you are in the dugout on the grandstand and the minute they're on the field, they are on their own. There's nothing you can do about
nothing
it.
Nothing I can do.
So what then do you do? What is the best remedy? These are supposedly professional football players who are supposed to be taking instruction from you. But if it doesn't happen, how do you then, as a coach, rectify these individual mistakes?
You have to find the right balance. Like yeah. I said, when we played Supersport in that friendly, you know, it was a good performance from both teams. And it's only a friendly. It's a good performance. But it gave me an idea of the back three. Because on that, based on that performance, it was 0-0 to the dying minutes. And then again, my defender made a mistake, got caught in possession at the edge of the box. 1-0, we lose the game. So you think, well, that player's not going to work. So you go into the game thinking, right, this is the balance, right? We're going to play three defenders. That's their responsibility to defend. We're going to play five across the middle. So that's their responsibility. The three in the midfield is to go and attack, which we did.
Yeah,
it worked. It worked. It really did. Apart from those mistakes, now individual mistakes, I can't do anything about. I've got to trust my defenders, and I'll give you an example why I trusted my defenders. Because my chairman was desperate to bring Happy Jelly into the team.
Yeah.
Now, I had faith in my defenders because of what I see every day.
100%.
I see that grit. I see that determination. I see that work ethic.
So and you wanted to bring Jelly in?
He wanted to bring Happy Jelly in. And I said, Chairman, listen, we've got better defenders.
So, okay. Because obviously we did not know about this development. So Happy Jelly can't just be spoken about flippantly as if he's some, you know, street kid, football player who...
No, he's a good player. He's been a good servant to Pirates.
He's a legend of the game.
He's an absolute star. I love him. I love Pirates.
So it's just my association with Swallows I had not been aware of. Is what I'm saying. So him wanting to bring in Jelle was because what? You had signed him on the way to signing him, hoping to sign him.
Well, Happy was looking for his final year. You know, he's left Pirates. I don't think he wanted to leave Pirates, but there's a lot of players that are looking for clubs. You know, we had the option to sign Bernard Parker, but again, I believe that the squad of players that I brought in from last year, after losing... Six. We lost seven players. Six.
But a lot of the players that you lost, I mean, I think since you've been there, well, not necessarily at Swallows, but across the board, I mean, I would think of players, whether it's King Glovo or Nange or Monyai or Mudao, Solomons, I think of Tatua, Miguel Tim, who came in, you know, to join us last week, you know, playing for Pirates now. So a lot of players that you kind of inducted into the game were not getting regular game time, then end up being lost to you. Then you're left with people that you almost have to panel beat into action.
I mean, it's good that they've gone on to bigger, better things.
Yes.
You know, and they deserved it because
but
of the way they play.
But have you replaced them with equally good players?
we tried to replace on a budget. You know, remember the club's financial structures is a shambles. It's a disaster. You know, I mean, I was playing golf when I went home for my 12-day break where I had to sort out some family issues.
Yeah.
You know, I'm playing golf this one afternoon, and on the 12th hole, I get this beep on my phone, there's a message, you know, and there's a comment by the chairman. And by the way, I think the chairman, you know, giving me the opportunity at Swallows was fantastic. Mm. And, you know, I can't thank him enough for that chance. You know, but, you know, he made a comment of, you know, I had 18 games. I never saved the club. I had 18 games to save the club. People don't know the distractions, the problems, the issues that I had to deal with daily leading up to them 18 games. When I met the chairman and when I met the president, Lesufi Panyaza, they within 25 minutes, they convinced me to sign a contract. 25 minutes. Because of their ambitions and their dreams and where they were going to take this club.
Mm.
Not 3 days later, I then found out that players are not getting paid, salaries are not forthcoming. They were promised every single week that you'll get paid at a certain date. Some got paid half salaries, some got paid no salaries, some got paid full salaries.
And this is now recent?
No, this is last season. This is last season.
Okay.
So to get them to remain in the PSL, because remember, my mandate was to keep them in the PSL. Whether it took 5 games, whether it took 10 games, whether it took 18 games, it was to keep them in the PSL.
Yeah.
And we had this conversation, I think, just previous to the season when I came back about, you know, the saviour and all that lot. It wasn't about saving the team. It was about keeping the PSL status.
Yeah.
That's what it means to the chairman, financially. You know, and yet I had a lot of issues, and I'm still having I still have those issues. This season, I went on holiday. I came back home. There was no contract for 3 weeks, for whatever reason, and then I got a contract, and then there was no working visa, so I had to go through the process of applying for a visa again.
So you went into pre-season. I'm assuming you had a pre-season.
Yeah, we had a 3-week pre-season. Pre-season,
did you have a contract
No.
then?
No.
So you were just in
so
good
I was working.
Faith.
When I returned back, we had 74 trialists. Swallows FC having trials for the Premier League.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. You know,
an odd talent.
We picked up four. You know, we picked up four. We could have picked three or four more.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of young boys, goalkeeper, and obviously Quander had been released from Orlando Pirates. And then the ones that we signed, the likes of Riziki, which the chairman didn't want to sign, didn't think it was good enough. I signed David Amoli and Ali, I forgot his surname, from Tanzania, two 20 and 21-year-olds that are very, very good players that have been brought into the club, and I weren't able to use them. So it's like I've got three good players, especially my striker, Riziki.
Yes.
I couldn't play him. You know, he's got strength, he's got pace, he's got energy,
but he's got the same problem as you.
And he had the same problem as me.
Yeah,
and I can understand it's a financial loss to the club, but they were an integral part of the team. Daniel Goza come from Black Leopards back from his loan period. I gave an opportunity. I was giving opportunities to players that would never play, you know, because I was trying to get the right team to get the right results.
Right.
And it took maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes to see from the stand, even from the bench at Gallants. You know, my first game on the bench, again, at half-time, I knew it wasn't working.
Yeah.
We'd worked on a specific way to make sure Ngema and Donlo didn't play. We let them play. We let them dictate. The second half changed it. We dictated. We should have won. Masonda should have scored. We had a goal ruled off for offside.
Opportunities galore.
Opportunities, yeah.
And let me take a quick break before you get into your next thought. I'll pick up on those missed opportunities when we come back from the break. Our chat today, the legendary Dylan Kerr, will not only talk about Swallows, we'll talk about what has happened back in the UK, where right about the same time he was being fired, he was being hailed, and he was being honoured, and he was being awarded and rewarded. So we'll get to all of that just after the break, so don't go anywhere.
Friday nights, always about our beloved legends.
Hey, Robert Marawa and the coach, you know, Darren Kerr, coach, us as Sandton supporter, we will forever love you. You know, that 1-1 draw you play against Chiefs while I was still coaching Baroka, you gave us the lead. gave us 10 million. We will forever love you for that. You put the order to the country. You fix the country. We will forever love you for that one point. Don't care what others say. Don't care what Swallows do to you. But for that one point, you found your place in our heart, especially as Sundown supporters. We will forever love you. You and Lord Kambala will forever love you, forever celebrate you. I wish you can get the job soon, because you are, I love what you're doing. You're a good coach. I wish you can get the job soon to the PSL, top flight, then and then so that we can see you on screen. You're a very ambitious coach. We always love to see you. Thanks, coach.
Yeah, you know what? After you hear, and you've been dealing with heavy issues before the break, and you come back to a voice note like that, you know, Sundowns fan, coach, but he just says, keep it up. You're a good coach, loves what you do, and he hopes you get a job soon.
Well, I can't thank him enough, but, you know, like I say, I've walked up from Umhlanga today. I took my time, and I took my time, you know, just to
think. It's quite a distance, though, so that
it is,
understand.
And it's uphill,
Yeah.
But, you know, when the people that I meet walking through Gateway and the pictures, and nobody's got a bad word to say.
Yeah.
And what hurt was after the Golden Arrows, there was three or four supporters for the first time ever saying, coach, go, coach, go. You know, and I can understand that, you know, that's football, you know, and, you know, I've done it when I was a kid. And I wanted somebody at Man United fired because he wasn't getting results, or somebody at Leeds United fired.
That's what fans do.
That's what fans do, and they and it's their prevalence to do it, because they're paying customers and they support the club. So, but you know, it took me 2 hours to walk up because I'm talking to people, and nobody's got a bad thing to say, and that's a pleasure to know. To your face, and like I said, that comment, you know, okay, we won Sundowns the league that day with Lord Kambala, but you know, it's a genuine supporter. So
I think he means well. That's the bottom part.
Good afternoon, Robert Marawa and our shareholders. Tomorrow, Orlando Pirates 3, Mamelodi Sundowns 2. Ezakhepu lomhlaba zawubhekisa phezulu, so khepu limamelodi Sundowns sikusasa sibhekise phezulu. That's the final score of tomorrow, Robert Marawa. Hayi, ngiyakutshela, ngizokukhumbuza Monday.
Yeah, as we look ahead to Reaction Monday, already a score prediction coming through. A big, big weekend as we say goodbye to the FIFA week and back to domestic football. But in, it's MTNA, Tiwafawa from Kumla Jersey, but it's two-legged. We look forward to those games. And I'm sure you miss cup football. We were talking about missed opportunities before the break. And then I come back and I say to you that it's a game of margins. It's a game of opinions, but it's also a Swallows that is hovering more or less where you finished last season. I said this to your former chairman, David Mukhashwa, when we spoke to him this week. And I said, for me, it doesn't come across as coincidence. You've applied for a visa how many times?
Five times. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it might drag on here and there, but there would be a crossing over the line and you would get your visa, work will resume. For it to have dragged on for as long as it did, I said to him, it's on record. I said, I don't think that is coincidence. I don't even think it's shoddy work from Home Affairs. I think it's deliberate.
I wish I could answer that one, because, like I say, I went to a Home Affairs twice a week.
Yeah.
And we sat there, and yes, it was coming this day, and then it was coming the next day. The chairman went on Twitter, said he will be on the bench for the game against AmaZulu. I wasn't, you know, and it took, you know, a couple more weeks before I eventually go on the bench. And, you know, you can't do it. Like I say, you can't do your job in your stands. It's impossible.
Yeah. But what do you think has led to this delay? Because remember, there's so many bad things. And you talk about the money issue, and it is their reality as Swallows and their management, and they know it. I am not surprised that they're going on a heavy drive with this, you know, the beer cup tournament or whatever the vote is that is going on. They would know the financial benefits of being able to play there, which will then come through and offset some of the financial situations that they're going through. It's the same Swallows that I had sympathy with, and I understood exactly what they're going through when they lost that telecom sponsorship, which was going to inject 15 million rand into their back pocket and back to the club, back to putting happy faces out on the field. So what is the ultimate aim? Who's got what against Swallows? You know, is my question, that you delay and you see other coaches. I mean, a coach that you played against, he took him for a couple of days. He's a foreign coach. He was there.
Well, the thing is, I don't know. I mean, look, there's all sorts of stories. It's money. We can't afford to pay this one. We can't afford to pay that one. The likes with the foreigners now. Yeah. I think Razik is being submitted. I think David's been submitted. Ali, I don't think. And I don't even know when. And now with the FIFA ban, I don't know if they're going to be able to play or even register. And they're four good players. Three very, very good players for me. And, you know, I don't know how or why or whatever the reason is, but I'm on the system. Yeah. You know, I had a visa for Swallows until June the 30th. Surely it just takes an admin to go rip that one out, put a new one in, because I'm on the system. But yet, within a week, Pirates have registered Joseph, the Spaniard.
Yeah.
Within a week, I knew from Maromo Gallants that they registered their Moroccan, French, whatever nationality is.
Yeah.
He was registered. The Sundowns players, the Chiefs players, the Pirates players, foreigners, were all registered within a couple of weeks. You know, the guy that came over from South America, within 10 days. The guy that came from Ethiopia,
Alenda,
within a week.
Yeah.
They got the visas.
Yeah.
I mean, so is it one rule for one rule for the other? But I'm on the system.
But that is why, yeah, sure. Unqualified as it is, allegedly as it is, but I observe, because the beauty of having eaten carrots all my life is that the eyesight is pretty clear. So when you see shoddy work, you understand it to be shoddy work. When you see deliberate work, you see it as deliberate work, because it is meant to hurt. And where it's hurting Swallows is the fact that Swallows is always now going to find itself struggling.
But I tried to change the dynamics towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
You know, once we finished the season, we had a short break. You know, we had a short break, not like the rest of the PSL. We had a short break. And from when I went home, I had 5 days where I had to sort my personal life out. But then I was planning for everything for when I was returning, because I was understanding I was still going to be Swallows coach. You know, I was advised, walk away, you've done. But I've never started a league season in the Premier League. And I knew I could give something better and bigger, because somebody had to challenge Sundown. Somebody had to challenge Royal AM, Pirates. Somebody had to give a different perspective.
Cape Town City,
I forgot anybody, but Cape Town City were in the Champions League. You know, and I still felt my hands were tied, you know, from A, not knowing if I was going to be on the bench for Pirates, you know, and am I going to be on the bench for the Maritzburg game? Sat at Maritzburg, it was a full house. I tried to sit on the opposite side of the Maritzburg fans, but there was a couple of thousand Swallows supporters there. So I went back to the... I couldn't dictate anything. Again, half-time, I changed it. We were okay in the first half, but I saw that we weren't performing well in midfield, changed it. We became better in the second half. People might disagree, but that's my opinion, because I've studied the replay, I've watched the games, as I do, and we were the better team, you know, because I made them changes. You're not on the bench. You're not there to try and organise things, to tell people to pick up, to tell people to change the shape. And against Stellenbosch, I'm on the bench. I'm wearing a suit. I thought I'd portray a different image, you know, for myself and for football. And at half time, you know, I had to change it because we were nowhere.
Yeah, you talk about Stellenbosch, and I might have missed it, but I didn't. You've come back to Stellenbosch, so that is where I latch on. You cited them earlier as playing an identity that is not reflective of you as a coach.
Yes.
That is what you said.
Yes.
I go back to that point. And I say, if they were not playing a Dylan Kerr approach to a game, whose identity were they playing?
I don't know. That's something that you can't fathom out. We play a different way of football, you know. There's no tactical, you know, people standing still and you have to move them to this position or this position. I play for my team. I don't care about the opposition. I look at my football team and say, right, this is how we're going to play. This is how we're going to win because of what we do in training. We do training sessions that are based on that game against Stellenbosch. And we did it. You know, we don't give Mtetwa time because he's come from the ball, Magaga time. But in the game, we gave Mtetwa his first Bafana call-up on that game. He looked $1 million. And remember, I had Mtetwa at Black Leopards and I tried to sign him before Stellenbosch. Yes. I tried to sign him for Swallows, but he'd already agreed to go with Steve Barker, which was good business for Stellenbosch. But we made him look a player.
Yeah.
You know, against Gallants, we didn't have our midfield the way I liked. So Givemore Coupe was on the bench. I brought him on in the second half. He was outstanding. He ran the show against Gallants. So I played him against Stellenbosch. Whether it was a bad day at the office, but you can't have 11 bad days. Oh, you know, you can't have 11 bad players. You know, and it wasn't until the last 20 minutes when we were 2-0 down that we actually had a go at Stellenbosch, the way I know that we can play. And that's something that, you know, is it down to management? Is it down to the players? You know, you can't envisage doing a certain way of playing football, which I've done it for the last 4 years since I've been in this country, and I've done it previous in Kenya, in Vietnam, and even at Simba, you know, in Tanzania. I've had a certain brand of playing, and it's worked.
Especially at Black Leopards, where people didn't really know much about the calibre of how you would change a team around. I think we saw remnants of that. And it almost, I mean, it won you the hearts of Toyando, it won you the hearts of many of the locals. And yeah, again, saving teams, saving teams, saving teams. Let me flip this slightly. So almost, I mean, it's cricket now, it's summer. I don't know if I'm going to give a leg spin. I'm going to go for, I'm going to fastball one to you. If I had to spin and throw it back at you, and okay, I've given a theory about why I think your visas are not renewed or they're not done speedily enough. That is my opinion. Anybody else willing to challenge that, I dare them to challenge. I don't really mind. Another portion is that based on what you've said and on the back of, again, the reference to the Stellenbosch game and so on and so on, it sounds to me internally, whether it is the players, the very same change room, not saying you'd lost it, but it could be elements or remnants who are within the team who then don't want to work and fight for Dylan Kerr to get the results in the hope that they get you fired. Was that something that crossed your mind? Is that something you're aware of?
Well, when we had the meeting on the Monday, you know, the CEO, the COO, and the chairman was there. The chairman was actually quite good. You know, the CEO and the COO were very different. You know, and did I lose a dressing room? And I said, no. I said, at half time, that dressing room was on fire. You know, they knew we'd made two mistakes. They knew we'd gone into the game knowing that we could win the game. And the way we played, and the CEO said, well, you played okay for 10 minutes. Yeah. And I said, well, no, CEO, we played well up until the 66th minute when we killed ourselves with the third goal. Had Masonda scored in the second half to make it 2-1, it's a different game. You know, but in the dressing room, you know, you can't put a picture or words unless you're in there. I mean, everybody was ready to fight. Everybody was willing to play. And in the second half, we went out, like I said, for the first 15 minutes again. We took the game to Golden Arrows. And we did four basic errors that cost me the game and cost me, ultimately, my job as Swallows coach. You know, and, you know, I'm still... It did hurt because, okay, I got relieved of my job at Barocca through different circumstances. This was, like I said, you know, like you said, at the beginning of the week. I knew on Monday night at 2 o'clock in the morning when I woke up, I had a beep on my phone. I don't usually answer my phone, but I had a beep on my phone and I saw that Swallows had paid me what they owed me, backdated, my bonus from last year for keeping them up. So I knew on Monday at 2 a.m. in the morning that was me fired. And they fired me on Wednesday.
So
they actually told me on the Wednesday.
On what is this now? Monday morning, 2 a.m.
This is Monday morning, 2 a.m. I woke up, so maybe, maybe 1 a.m., 2 a.m. The phone's beeped. I don't usually.
But
I looked at it. I don't know. And I saw this email. I'd been paid. Now, I didn't know what the pay was because they owed me a month's salary.
You hadn't played lotto either.
No. So I figured out, right, it was pro rata for September and it was for the month that they were still owing me from June and July. Mm-hmm. They paid me my July and then obviously they'd done the arrears. But then I found out a couple of days later that it was my bonus for keeping them in the league, which they gave me in my contract,
mm-hmm.
and the money that they owed me. Mm-hmm. So I knew then on Monday evening that I was fired. That was me done.
Via a text?
No, from the bank.
So this is you deducing, because it's not the first time that you find yourself in the circumstance, but it was enough to tell you
what was inevitable. That was it.
Okay.
It was inevitable.
All right, let's hold it there. Interesting, man. Interesting conversation that we're having here. Dylan Kerr, my guest tonight. We'll come back with your WhatsApp voice notes. Trust me, there's plenty.
Friday nights, always about our beloved legend.
Good evening, Mr. Marawa. Ukhuluma nesibongeleni kwamkhwane kaMgaya Mathafeni, majority shareholder MSW. Mr. Marawa, thanks for bringing in Mr. Dylan Kerr on air. Mr. Marawa, I think he's one of those coaches who are very, very unlucky, Mr. Marawa. I think he's one of those exciting coaches you can have in your team, but it seems as if he is a journeyman. He has changed teams a lot in South Africa. What challenges does he face in the teams that he has been at? Is it a matter of players not adjusting to his philosophy, or it's just a matter of not getting enough quality from the management of the team to make sure that he succeeds in those teams? Thank you, Mr. Marawa.
What is that challenge, though? Because I think you get a sense from the listeners that they respect what you bring into the game. They respect what you bring out of dire situations, but also they respect the fact that you can resuscitate talents and careers of players. So what has been your biggest challenge? SA football, I mean, you're a legend of the game. We'll get to what happened in the UK shortly. So they recognize you there, we recognize you here, but you've taken the coaching direction right now. So Sibongeleni is asking, very simple, very direct, what are the challenges that you're seeing in modern day SA football that makes your job that much more difficult?
I think one of the things, and this is fact, it's excuses. It's people wanting to blame other people instead of looking at themselves. When I took training on Tuesday and Wednesday, Wednesday I had a meeting with my captain Wambi. We had a coffee and I asked him a question, what's going on? What's the player saying?
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about, he said, look, coach, we've the structure and the formations and tactics. And I started laughing and I said, I do my homework. When I go home, when I get the opportunity to watch videos of all the top teams in Europe and all the top teams in the world, the formation, clubs don't have tactics and formations and structures now because it's all about playing football. It's passing, it's moving. 20, 30 years ago when I was a player, it was all about tactics. Where to stand, how to move, how you're going to win. But now with the game being faster, with it being more competitive, with the money and the financial aspects of the game, it's changed. The dynamics have changed. And last year, and this was confirmed to me by Sean Bishop from Sundowns.
Yes.
Since I took over at Swallows, at the end of the season, we were the second best team behind Swallows for chances created, crosses, shots off target, shots on target. But we ended up finishing second bottom. But we, from statistics wise, we were the second best team, in the league, in the PSL that last season. And the reason I started laughing with this structure and tactics, I said to Wambi, in 8 years I've won 6 trophies, 2 championships, 4 cup winners, and I've kept 4 teams in the league. I've promoted all these players to the Pirates to Sundowns to Chiefs to Royal AM that we're not playing. I've brought an exciting brand where the fans love the way we play, that you enjoy the respect that I've given you by bringing you in at a certain time, by only training for 2 hours and letting you go home, by treating you as adults, not as children. And you come back at me with that, you know, and I'm thinking, that's coming from somebody else. That's not coming from a player. That's coming from maybe out with, you know, whether it's a board member or it's somebody that's close to somebody. And I'll stick by my record. I'll stick by my principles because it's worked. It's worked for me.
But is that destroying the game, though? I asked you, I mean, I'm not sure if you gave me the answer, but it literally had to do with there being a backlash from players or from certain sectors of the management. And you talked about the meeting you had with the COO and what he felt, and then the chairman was also there. And you agreed to disagree on their view because ultimately you're the one employed and with the badges to do the job that you do and nobody else. Otherwise, you wouldn't be there. But what about the players? I mean, do you see them with all of these individual mistakes that they're doing? And we term them individual mistakes because that is what we take them to be. But for how long? So hence my question is, do you think some of those individual mistakes were deliberate?
I would hope not, because like I say, you know, when you see people train and play the way they train and it's a dream, honestly, coming to work in the morning, especially this season, I changed a lot this season. We had to let a lot of people go and managed to split the budget in half for the club. We were a lot healthier on that aspect. We became a team that looked like a football team. Because last season we had so many issues off the field.
Yeah.
You know, players would come to training and I didn't know what mood they were in, if they were going to train, if they were going to practice, if they wanted to play, were they going to come to training? And this year I made sure that we got everything right, you know, from day one, and we looked better. I thought we were healthier. And I've always said to people who've actually said to me, this is not a good team, you haven't got good players, this team will not do anything. Mm-hmm. I said no, because I believed in these players, I believed in what we were doing. And obviously it didn't. It didn't happen. Whether the players, I don't believe the players would do that, you know, because of the respect that I showed them and how I treated them. Yes, I'm going to be emotional because I'm a Yorkshireman. We are emotional with our feelings. We do say what we want to say. Yeah. And sometimes it's in the heat of the moment. Sometimes, you know,
you're allowed to be honest.
You're just being honest. Yeah. I was trying to find answers. I was trying to find answers to the questions after the Golden Arrows. I was trying to find answers. That's not my team that played against Stellenbosch. That was not my team that made those basic mistakes against Golden Arrows.
So who's fiddling with the team? Because surely if it doesn't have your footprint, your fingerprint or whatever it is, then it's got to be somebody else's.
I like I said, I don't, whether you know, somebody's, you know, doesn't like because he's not playing or he's dropped or he's not selected to start. Maybe whispers go around the dressing room. I don't know. But I genuinely believed, you know, after that performance against Stellenbosch, we were on the right track against Golden Arrows. And in that meeting on the Monday, the CEO asked me a question and he said that with this FIFA ban, do you think we can survive? Do you think we can finish in the top eight with what you've got if we can't sign or register any other players? Yeah. And I said, 100% CEO, we can still climb this league. We're 3 points behind possible fifth position. That's how tight the league is. And I believe that these players, as I've always said, you've got an opportunity here to become memorable in football if you perform the right way. And that's all I could say to him. You know, and I say, they've walked out and they said they will give a decision after they spoke. And when on Wednesday, the chairman was on holiday, the CEO came in and handed me a piece of paper in an envelope saying that my contract had been terminated, and that was it. That was it.
But, I mean, handing you over a termination that you had anticipated. But in that, I think as we wind up that conversation, Dylan, but In getting your letter terminating your contract, which I take it as firing.
Yes.
How did you take it in that moment?
I'd already known. I'd already known. I should have listened to Paul Mitchell, my agent, and said and resigned.
Yeah.
You know, but
at what stage were you going to resign?
I actually didn't want to resign. I didn't want to resign. And it
but at what stage did he want you to resign?
That day, the next day, when I told him I'd received this, he'd actually written my resignation letter.
Wow.
But on Wednesday, when I'd spoken to Wambi and, you know, I went to training, even though I knew I was just waiting for the opportunity that the chairman or eventually the CEO phoned me at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, can I come and see you? And I said, is it good news or bad news? And he went, oh, I can't discuss on the phone. I knew what was coming. You know, and, you know, there's nothing you can do.
But what does he say to you, though? He just gives you a piece of paper and then what?
He just gave me an envelope and it was a termination letter and he says, it's football. This is football. We have good things, we have bad things. And that was it. That was it.
But the termination letter was citing what? I mean, what are the reasons?
I didn't fulfil the mandate and they didn't feel that I could take the club
into the next game. What was the
into
mandate?
The mandate was to get four points every out of nine.
4 points out of nine.
Out of nine. And the first seven games, I'd got that. You know, so I got the 8 points, which was, you know, and then obviously with the Golden Arrows and now the Kaizer Chiefs, I wasn't going to get the 4 points.
You weren't going to get them?
I wasn't going to get the 4 points.
Okay, if you work out mathematics.
But then again, if you get the 3 points against Chiefs and get the 3 points against Royal M, that evens itself out. So, you know, the fact that the chairman didn't think I was going to be able to turn it around, you know, it just doesn't make sense because I knew that given that opportunity to continue, especially if you continue till the end of the break, I believe we could have still amassed that 15 points. But also I felt, and I told these players every day, we're in a false position. We should be realistically with 18 points.
But this contract, and it sounds like it's based on projections as opposed to the reality of the situation.
The chairman made this thing that it was a performance-based contract. And, you know, I was quite happy to do that because I believed in these players. That's the thing. I believed in every one of these players. Remember when we sat down at the end of the season, we had 30 odd players.
Let me get to the next part because I just realized I've got 2 minutes left. Where to next in terms of not the beach soccer, but for you as a coach? I see reports linking you to two potential teams that you've applied for in the UK. I don't know if those are true.
My agent in South Africa, Paul Mitchell, he's told me to just have a break. I've been pulling for two jobs by two different people in England, former players, John Newsome at Sheffield Wednesday and Leeds United, and Imre Varadi at Leeds United. They said, "Would you want me to put you in?" And I said, "Just throw my name in." But I've got to be realistic. You know, I've been in Africa too long and people don't respect African football, even though all the top players in Europe are African. You know, so it's nice to be associated. It's nice to be thought of that I could go to Rotherham, which is my 5 miles from my hometown, and Burton Albion, where I used to do the under-18s. But I love this country. I love the football in this country. I want to change the dynamics of this country. That's my problem. Maybe I'm too forthright in where I want the club to go, where I want the club to grow. You know, I tried to do it at Brant Leopards, they got relegated. Tried to do it at Baroka, got relegated. TTM, I don't know where they're going to be, or Marumo Gallants next year, if they're going to get relegated. And the same with Swallows. I tried to change the club to be more better, to promote the club. I went into schools with coaching. You know, I've brought Jimmy Backos. Yes. You know, we were going to link into his team. You know, I was going to have a meeting last Wednesday to get a structure from the under-8s all the way for nothing. It wasn't going to cost Swallows a penny. Yeah. But we haven't got that. I mean, the MDC is the feeder club into the first team. You know, that's all over the place at the moment. And I wanted to change that. And I was going to change it given time. But obviously here, it's chairman are worried about losing their status, losing their money.
Yeah, sure.
That's what it's about. It's not about saving the club. It's about losing that money.
And sometimes the money that is not even there in the first place, as is with a lot of the clubs. I wish you much success. I could talk football with you forever and ever. And I know that doors are never shut for too long when it comes to Dylan Kerr. But thank you, Coach. I really and honestly wish you the best. You've seen the comments on social media. People genuinely have respect for you. We have too here on MSW. I look forward to seeing you on the beach tomorrow, playing beach football. All the best. I respect you. Walking from all the way deep Mhlanga to the Vuma FM studios.
It's always a pleasure, Robert, to be on your show. It's a pleasure and it's a privilege to be with such a legend himself.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dylan Kerr. We'll catch you again on Monday under the bridge this time in Katlehong. It's been real.